Okay, enjoy. Help yourselves to some donuts and chalant on the Thursday night, where we continue to strive to be Ben Aliyah. This slot was originally dedicated for a group of people who, for 10 or so minutes a week, want to be reminded of our aspiration, of our ambition, of the possibility of dreaming of a better us and a different reality for ourselves. There's a story, I've shared it before, I think I heard it originally from Moshe Weinberger, maybe somebody else, but that back in the days before there were electronically controlled gates at railroad crossings, you know, you drive down Palmetto Park Road, and the railroad crossing goes up and down, but beforehand, there used to be a brakeman. His job was to be at that intersection, and when there was a train, to wave a lantern so the approaching cars would see the light, and know that there was a train on the tracks, and avoid, God forbid, a terrible collision. One night in a small community, the train was stopped at the crossing, and the brakeman was at his post. It was about midnight, and he noticed a car was coming along. He saw the headlights. So the brakeman waved his lantern ferociously, but the car kept coming. And he waved it more furiously, but the car kept coming. And the car ultimately crashed into the train, thank God. No casualties, no fatalities. The car was totaled, and of course, there was a lawsuit. And the Baal HaLantern, the brakeman, was called to the stand to testify. The attorney who represented him had prepared him well, had to answer all of the questions. And when he was on the stand during the trial, he testified. Did you see a car coming? Yes, I saw the car coming. Did you see the headlights? Absolutely. I saw the headlights. And what did you do? I waved the lantern. How did you wave it? Was it indiscernible? Was it barely moving? No! The brakeman showed how frantically he waved the lantern back and forth and back and forth. And the judge, the jury, heard the testimony. They were convinced that the brakeman himself was innocent. They found in his favor, the case was dismissed. And afterwards, the lawyer said to the brakeman, I have to congratulate you. You really testified so well. You were so prepared. You answered the questions so articulately, so compellingly. So the brakeman looked at his lawyer and he said, okay, thank you, but boy, am I glad that the other lawyer didn't bother asking me if the lantern was lit. I'm so relieved he didn't ask me if the lantern was lit. And obviously the message of this story is that many of us in our lives are waving our lanterns frantically. We're at Shacharis Mincha Marav. We're learning the daf maybe once or more a day. We're giving our tzedakah. We're putting on our tefillin. We're going through the motions and the motions and the motions. We're doing our mitzvos and our mitzvos and our mitzvos. But the question is, if externally we're waving the lantern, we're going through the motions, we're doing everything right on the outside, but what's burning inside us? Is there a fire that's lit? Is there a light? Is there anything charging us? Is there energy? Is there passion? Is there excitement? Is there creativity? Is there enthusiasm? Is there drive? Is there anything inside? Or are we waving frantically, but in fact, the lantern inside is lit? The Gemara has an interesting machlokas, whether hadlaka osa mitzvah or hanacha osa mitzvah. What is the nature of the mitzvah of Hanukkah candles? Do I have to actually ignite the flame? Do I have to light the candle to be yotzei the mitzvah? Or I can take a menorah chanukiah that's previously been lit or belit by somebody else, and hanacha osa mitzvah. I can place an already lit menorah after the requisite time of lighting and in the proper place. What's the nafgamina? Of course, the practical difference is, can someone else light the menorah before the time of candle lighting? But I'll do a hanacha, I'll place it after the time of candle lighting comes, or can someone light it in an ineligible place, and I'll move the lit menorah to an eligible place and be yotzei the mitzvah. And how do we paskin? We paskin hadlaka osa mitzvah. And the Bali Musa, the Bali Machshava explain that what Chazal were telling us is hadlaka osa mitzvah, lighting that fire inside ourselves is the mitzvah. Not just waving the lantern on the outside, not just going through the motions, of which we should be incredibly proud, and we should congratulate ourselves, and we should feel good, and it should encourage us to continue to do more and more and more. Certainly doing the right things on the outside is better than not doing the right things at all. But what a waste of energy to wave frantically and to have a lantern which isn't lit, to be extinguished, to be cold and withdrawn, to be dark on the inside. This is the time of year, Chanukah is the period of the year where we seek to be madlik ourselves, to so to say light our lantern. Now the Gemara says that there are wicks and oils that are ineligible, that are unfit for Shabbos, but they're permissible for Chanukah. And the Mori Naim, the Chernobyl Rebbe, explains that we know a candle is a metaphor for a soul, ki ner Hashem nishmas Adam. And perhaps what the Gemara means is not only a halachic parameters of which wicks and oils are appropriate for each of the lighting opportunities, but it's telling us something even more. The Gemara is telling us, says the Chernobyl Rebbe, that even the neshamas, even the souls that fail to light up on Shabbos, Shabbos becomes routine, it becomes mundane, it's expected, it's predictable, it's a habit. Shabbos doesn't do it for us. But even the Yidden, the neshamas, the Jews for whom Shabbos no longer does it, those wicks, those oils can light up for Chanukah. Chanukah is a time of the year that we have the opportunity to be madlik ourselves, to invigorate ourselves, and to gain an enthusiasm and a drive and an excitement. And it happens through creativity. It happens through mixing it up, breaking the regilis. Achetich leregel min ashuk, we spoke about several times over the last couple of weeks, to break the pattern and the routine. You normally daven out of a certain sitter, buy a new sitter, mix it up, notice the different font and the layout and the page turn and a different bracha in your amida. Mix it up with a new sitter. Try something different. You normally listen to X in your commute to and from work, listen to Y. Take advantage of the opportunity for shir, or music which is going to move and lift your neshama, not music which is going to contaminate it. To mix up our lives, and to imagine what previously was unimaginable. To do what it takes with creativity and ingenuity, to find our passion and our voice and our drive. To be madlik ourselves, because after all, it's the hadlaka osem mitzvah. There's a beautiful Shem Yishmul, a beautiful Sochet Shav Rebbe, on Chanukah, where he talks about the Gemara in Shabbos that teaches, Haragel b'ner havin l'mbanim tamidei chachamim. If you're ragel b'ner. And he notes that the Gemara contrasts ragel b'ner with every other description. He quotes the Maharsha, actually, who asked this question. That when it comes to all the other mitzvos, it says if you're zariz, that a person, or zahir, hazar b'mezuzah zochel adira na hazar b'tzitzah zochel atalas na hazar b'kiddush, one is cautious, one is vigilant to perform the other mitzvos. And yet here, when it comes to ner, it's haragil. It's accustoming ourselves. And ask the Sochet Shav Rebbe, well, what do I mean? I thought that regilus is something that we reject. When a person does mitzvah anasha milimuda, a person does something out of habit, that's negative. So why would the Gemara here be endorsing, be encouraging haragil b'ner, as if there's something positive about accustoming ourselves, creating a habit of the ner, being close to the candle? The Sochet Shav Rebbe paints what I think is a very, very beautiful image. He writes, "Kishagavru malchus beis chashmonai v'nitzchum nislavu nefashos Yisrael biyoser lahamshich achrei Hashem Yisbarach." When the chashmonaim were victorious, when something extraordinary happens in the world, there's a window. It's an opportunity to be lit on fire, to light the spark inside you. If the world has been changed up, we should be changed up. Whether it's the historic announcement last week, Yerushalayim recognized something we've already known, but the most powerful man on earth validated, affirmed as the capital of our people. Whether it's an extraordinary event like that, or in our own lives, things that seemingly were coincidence or chance, but it turns out were so fortuitous, such Yad Hashem, such Hashkacha, this Yontif, the Yemei Shmona, the holiday that's brought to us by the number 8, to see the supernatural within the natural, to see the extraordinary within the ordinary. When we look through different eyes, when we gaze and observe the world through a different filter, and we see things that are right before us all along, it should cause us to light a fire, to be madlik, hadlaka osa mitzvah, to re-energize our davening, and re-energize our learning, and re-energize our bein adam l'chavero, and re-energize the dreams that have flamed out. We had visions, we had dreams in our youth, coming out of yeshiva, maybe more recently, professionally, privately, aspirations in learning, ambitions about a family life, the role we could play in our family, our character and who we want to be. And so many of those flames have burned out. They've long since extinguished. The world doused, the world put them out. And that now the mitzvah, hadlaka osa mitzvah, it's to relight those dreams, to re-envision the version of ourselves that's accomplishing the goals that we once dreamt of doing. Professionally, privately, in learning, and davening as an Eben Hashem, as a father, as a husband. This is the yontif of being on fire, of lighting a fire. And that's what the Sochet Shavar says. She'inyan haner she'shahaheves ola me'eleha. A flame flickers upwards on its own. Shenem sheches lamaila. Hashem and nimshach achra psila va'ola balav eish ochla b'chol rega v'rega b'chiyas chadasha. What happens with a candle? We see one ongoing flame, but the truth is that the flame is undergoing renewal over and over and over again, because each new drop of oil, of fuel, that's being drawn into the wick to create that flame is creating a new flame and a new flame and a new flame, even if it appears to us as the same old flame. So much so that the Gemara in Brachos says that if you bring a flame into a Rishus HaRabim, ma she'akar lo hiniach, ma she'hiniach lo akar, you're not, you haven't violated carrying, because it's not the same object. The flame that was flickering there is not a flame that was flickering here. It's being renewed, it's being reinvented over and over. B'chol rega v'rega ba'or chadash. And this is the theme of Chanukah, renewal, to light our fire, to be on fire, and to revisit old dreams, and to re-energize and renew ambitions and aspirations. Renewal over and over. Not allow it to get cold. Not allow it to go out. Nothing is old. Nothing is rote. And nothing is just habit. And nothing is cold. And nothing is withdrawn. To be on fire. So the ragil b'ner is not to be some to do custom and habit. That's something we reject. But what should we accustom ourselves to doing? We should accustom ourselves to renewal. We should accustom ourselves to creatively mixing things up. We should accustom ourselves to finding our passion and drive and enthusiasm to live life on fire over and over and over again. And when that roaring flame reduces itself to a barely discernible spark, to fan it until it grows large once again. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel have this big machlokas, but we paskin like Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai, as Rav Pinkus explains very beautifully, Beis Shammai, it's hard to understand. You start with 8, you go down to 1. The Gemara gives its reasons, but al pi hashkafa, al pi machshava, it's hard to understand. So Rav Pinkus says, no, it's not so hard to understand. Sometimes when you reduce something, when you simplify something, it becomes more powerful, it becomes more potent. In the world of cooking, you have something called, I understand, you have something called a reduction. A reduction is when you boil off, when you create steam, and when you limit the fluid that's there, all you're left with is a reduction, but it's powerful, it's potent. Says Beis Shammai, life doesn't always have to be bigger and better and greater and more. Sometimes simplify your life, reduce your life. Steve Jobs' whole shita when it came to Apple was to create products that are simplified. When they would bring him a product for testing, he would say, what can we remove? How can we make it better by what can we remove? Not what we can add, bells and whistles and lights. How can we simplify it? How can we make it better? And there's a component of Beis Shammai that's emes that we have to incorporate into our Chanukah. That sometimes our mission is to simplify. Don't get on too much. Simplify, reduce, so that we have a reduction. What we're doing well and in earnest and on fire. But ultimately, we paskin like Beis Hillel, that we're mosif v'holich. We're not complacent, we're not satisfied. We add, and we're on fire, and we grow. And if we want banim tamidei chacham, says the Gemara, you have to be ragil b'ner. If you want your children to be inspired, you want your children to be on fire, then they have to see us making a renewed effort to be on fire all the time, not settling into routines that become old and cold, but rather always hischadshus, a renewed sense of being on fire with passion and creativity and whatever it takes. We should all be zocha to be mosif v'holich. We should always add and grow and progress. Things should never get old and stale, but new. May we zocha to be on fire, and by being on fire, light the fire of all those around us.